Mark Parnell was first elected the state's Legislative Council in 2006 and is now one of two Greens serving in the upper house. He holds a degree in law and commerce as well as masters in regional and urban planning and successfully acted on behalf of Conservation SA in the state's longest environmental trial in the 1990s. He joins me now to discuss the Greens platform ahead of the March state election. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, Tom. That makes me sound really famous. Who wrote those words?
Oh, so one of our very talented producers. So I'm going to start speaking about some environmental issues.
Sure.
The current government supports fracking for gas and has pushed hard for a nuclear waste dump in the past. Why is community opposition to these policies not translated into greater traction for the Greens in SA, do you think?
Well, it's politics is a very interesting game. And I can remember once down in a country area and we were batting for a local environmental issue and the residents were really happy. They said, oh, thank goodness for the Greens. You're the only ones who are backing us. And then come polling day, hardly anyone voted for us. And so I asked them, I said, I thought you liked what we were doing. And they said, yeah, we did. You were the only ones who helped us, but we're Liberals. Like as if it was genetic or something, like it was in their DNA and there was nothing they could do to change it. So lesson number one, people have to realise that just because your grandpa or your mum or your uncle or whatever voted a certain way, you don't have to. And in fact, the communities that actually get the best outcomes are those who don't always repeat the same behaviour and they mix up their vote and they vote on the basis of policy. But, you know, any suggestion of the Greens' demise is grossly overstated. Our support has increased every election, and especially in a younger demographic. You know, the people who are going to be here and are going to have to manage what happens with a polluted planet and climate change, you know, they're the ones who see the Greens' policies as offering real hope for the future.
Well, speaking of the future, how would the voters be better represented by the Greens in the lower house, given more representation?
Well, the Greens are running in every lower house seat, but we're also running in the upper house. And realistically, our best chance of getting elected is in the upper house. And one of the things that people often don't realise, unless they've sort of studied politics or law or whatever, is that for any law to pass, it has to go through both houses of parliament. And that means that, you know, the upper house can be really important. And the Greens have been in the balance of power, you know, sharing it with other small parties for the last 12 years. And in fact, here's a fun factoid that nobody knows, that the upper house of the South Australian Parliament has not been controlled by the government of the day since about the 1970s. So, you know, we've got a strong tradition in South Australia of holding governments to account. And South Australians are pretty smart. They don't vote the same party in power in both houses of parliament because they know that that leads to no accountability.
That's that is a really fun fact to know. That's very interesting. Now, given that Conservation SA has ranked SA Best as the second most environmentally friendly party behind yours, you've recently released your preferencing sheets. You've labelled them as the bottom party to vote for. Why is that?
Oh, well that's not true. Actually, we've mixed it up a bit. We've some how to vote cards. We've got SA Best ahead of the Liberals. Other ones, we've got the Liberals ahead of them. But I think the most important thing for people to realise is that whilst the media talk about preferences and where they're going, what people often forget is that the only person with the power to allocate preferences is you, the voter. Parties don't allocate preferences. Now, I know that it's a sort of shorthand way of saying, yes, but you've got a volunteer standing at the booth and they've got a how-to-vote card and the how-to-vote card suggests who you put first, second, third and fourth. But that's only a suggestion. And most people, well, many people, especially most Greens voters, sort of say, thanks very much, and they do their own thing anyway. I will make one other point about preferences. This is the first election in South Australia where parties have not been able to directly allocate your preferences on your behalf. Now, I don't want to people are just waking up. I don't want to put them back to sleep. But it's a, but the way the upper house voting system works is quite complicated. And most people, you know, they're used to the fact that they, you know, you just put one above the line. And if you voted one for, say, Labor above the line, then the Labor Party would allocate all the rest of your votes. Now, that's gone, that system. That was one of the proudest things that I achieved in state parliament in this last term, was to get rid of all backroom preference deals. So now the voters decide. You know, when you stop putting numbers in the upper house, in the upper house, if you stop allocating numbers, your preferences stop flowing. But coming back to, you know, how do parties decide who to recommend? It's a dark art, I can tell you. And certainly the Conservation Council did their survey. They weighted, you know, put a weight on the various answers. Now, the Greens aren't just an environmental party. I mean, it is a bit of a millstone around our neck because people think, oh, Greens, you must be just those ones who care about trees. Well, no, it's social justice and it's health and it's education and it's human rights. So certainly the conservation group's assessment is one assessment, but, you know, when we go back and look at the track record, take Nick Xenophon, for example, you know, travelling the country with the Democratic Labor Party, having public meetings about how bad wind farms are. He was the first out of the blocks when the tornadoes took out the power lines and blacked out the state. He was the first out of the blocks saying, oh, you know, that renewable energy is to blame. Well, that was just rubbish. So, you know, all parties have got a mix of people, some better than others. They've got policies, some better than others. So I'd urge voters to make up your own mind about preferences.
Now, you said that the state's current planning system is corrupt and broken. Can you explain how and what the Greens might do to change that?
Sure. Well, for my sins, that big long CV that you read out at the start, I am the only member of state parliament who's got formal qualifications in planning. Now, planning's one of those things, again, people go to sleep, but gee, it's important. You think, you know, you ask someone in the street, do you care about how your city, your town, your suburb functions? Do you care how things look? Do you care where things are built? Of course we do. We care about our local area. But the way the South Australian system works is it's stacked in favour of the developers. It's really difficult for individuals or for community groups to sort of participate, you know, to have their say. And it's almost impossible to challenge bad planning decisions in the court. Now, what do we do about it? Well, the tools in my toolkit means that I sit in Parliament and I get to move amendments and I get to vote on amendments. I have moved hundreds and hundreds of amendments to fix up the planning scheme. They haven't all passed, but some of them have. And I think we are making inroads. So if people care about the future of how their local environment works, then, you know, paying attention to the planning system and supporting the one party that's actually moving to try and put people back into planning and take the power away from big business, you know, that's got to be a good thing.
I'm speaking with SA Greens leader Mark Parnell. Now, what would you say are the top most pressing issues we need to address as a state beyond this election?
Yeah, well, that's the most logical question everyone asks at election time. And in some ways, there's a whole bunch of trite answers, like you just reel them off. Well, it's health, it's education, it's jobs, it's the tax system, you know. But the reason that people trot those out is because they are, in fact, the things that people care about the most. But look at South Australia in particular. Certainly energy is a big one. I think South Australians are fully behind a renewable energy future. You know, again, take your clipboard out into Arundel Mall and do a vox pop. You'll find that people like renewable energy. They're proud of the fact that South Australia leads the nation, but they are nervous about the cost. Now, your energy bill, it might be about 3% of your total budget, but it's a pretty visible one because when those bills come in, they're big, you know. Now, one thing we know is that the cost of generating electricity from fossil fuels is growing. You know, the price of gas is growing. The impact on the climate is undeniable. It's bad. The flip side of the coin, renewable energy, whether it's solar panels or wind, or most importantly, the batteries and other storage devices that sort of turn that intermittent energy into something we can use 24/7, all those technologies are getting cheaper. So whilst people, you know, some people are leaping to conclusions and saying, my bill's gone up, we've got more renewable energy, cause and effect. Well, no. It's, in fact, the effect will be the opposite, and I think people will see prices coming down. So I think that's important. I think the other aspect, obviously, is jobs. And South Australia, you know, let's have a think about where we've come from and where we're going. I mean, what did we do in the past? We made fridges. You know, we made white goods. You know, we had washing machine factories out at out near Woodville. We made cars. We had two or three car factories for many years. So those industries are either gone completely or going pretty fast. So, you know, where are new jobs going to be? And I've got to say, people of my generation, early 40s, 50s, who've got adult kids, and we see them, going interstate for job opportunities. You know, it's Melbourne and Sydney. Now, that's fine if you're in an area and you want, you know, a taste of the big life. You know, no one should try and stop you. But what is a tragedy is when people have to move interstate because that's the only place they can get a job. So really, the future of jobs in South Australia is going to be a mixed bag. It's not going to be fridges and washing machines anymore. It's going to be in health. It's going to be in education. It's going to be renewable energy, tourism, the service sector. And we need to focus on those industries.
Now, pivoting away from those day-to-day issues of the election to more of a state identity question, would you support a redesign of our state flag as was recommended at the State Labor Conference in 2016?
Oh, the state flag. Well, let's think about our state flag. It's got a Union Jack in one corner. Now, I think there's a lot of people who are very proud of that sort of British heritage, plenty of other people for whom it's irrelevant. And you've only got to go overseas and they say, oh, so you're part of England, are you? You know, like people don't sort of get this Union Jack in the corner. What's the other bit of the South Australian flag? Well, there's a bird. It's black and white. And I reckon, again, take this clipboard down to Rundle Mall. Is it a magpie? Is it a mudlark? Is it a Murray magpie, which I think is the same as a mudlark? You know, people aren't even sure what it is. And despite the best efforts of one of our big commercial banks to dress someone up in a bird costume and parade around the television, I'm not sure it works that well for people. But, you know, changing flags is pretty vexed. Mind you, I think the national flag is a bit different. I mean, people, you know, don't ride on horses into battle with the state flag. National flag, yep, there's a lot more emotion attached to it. To be honest, if you change the South Australian flag, would anyone notice? You know, does anyone even know what it is at the moment? So not a big issue, but yeah, why not? Let's reinvent ourselves.
Well, Mark, it was an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
That's right, Tom. Thanks for having me in.
Mark Parnell, Parliamentary Leader of the Greens in South Australia.